But right now on the Revolution Hotline, we have Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau. Hey, buddy.
What's going on?
How are you?
I'm good.
I saw a story you put out, and I don't know if you realize this, but I actually read your stuff.
Oh, wow.
Harry King always accuses me of not. He goes, I know you don't read that crap, but I wrote this column the other day about something. And I said, I do read your stuff, Harry, occasionally.
So I've got two people to read my stuff, my mom and you.
See, here's what Harry needs to do more of, is Harry needs, now that he's got a Twitter account, so does Bill Clinton and so does the Pope, he needs to tweet out his columns when he writes them. So, because I would pay closer attention to catching it off of a Twitter link than I would, just generally speaking, looking for his stuff.
I will pass it along to him, and we'll see if we can get him like a training course so he can figure out how to do that.
Yeah, something about old dogs and new tricks and stuff like that. But anyway, I saw a story that you wrote talking about Tyler Wilson, his perception by NBA draftniks, and I guess his perception of the process as well. But just talk to me a little bit about that. Summarize that, if you would, for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tyler's realistic. You know, he went into this wanting to prove to everybody that he's worthy of a first-round pick, and I think he understood going into last night that probably wasn't going to happen. And he's okay with it. But, you know, his goal was to find a team that wanted to take him, whether it's the second round, third round, fourth round, whatever it was, and go in there and learn and get ready to go. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, at the end of this weekend and at the end of the next couple of days, he's going to be a professional football player one way or another. So I think he understands that and took a lot of solace in that. Now, you know, did he want to be a first-round guy? Of course. And I think a lot of people this time last year thought he was going to be, but we all know what happened. He just it was a difficult year for the team as a whole. He didn't perform great. He had opportunities, I think, in the pre-draft process, too, to try to convince some people of you know, the fact that he's a first-round guy, but he just couldn't get it done, and that's okay. So, you know, now he's part of this draft class that is kind of being frowned upon, I guess. But I think it's probably because of what the draft class was last year with the top two guys there at the draft. But, you know, now he's just part of this mix, and, you know, he's going to find somewhere, and he's going to get an opportunity somehow, some way. So he's just waiting for that whenever it is and wherever it is.
Anything else? Did you talk to the other guys? We've had, I guess we had Greg and Niall Davis on this week talking a little bit about their potential and their hopes. But
I talked to Greg. I talked to Niall. I talked to Kobe Hamilton as well. And, you know, the fascinating thing to me is that, you know, Arkansas, at the end of this week, could have six guys drafted, and they could all be on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, think about that. That's six guys from one class, you know, one team that were drafted on one side of the ball. That's never happened in school history.
Yeah, considering this is a team that didn't go to a bowl game, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
I guess we were talking about Florida State and kind of poking at them, the fact they had three guys go in the first round and they lost three games last year somehow. This is even worse for Arkansas, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talent on this team, and they didn't perform, and we all know that. And we know that there was probably some other reasons behind that. You know, the fact that they lost their coach in the end, that really hurt this group a whole lot. But, you know, there's still NFL talent. You know, these guys are going to get snatched up. You know, I'm not sure how many, if it's going to be five or six, but still, you've got a pretty big draft class as far as offensive talent goes. And it can be pretty impressive. And, you know, when you look back then and you start to add up the previous classes as well, you know, there's three guys from the offense taken last year. There's three guys taken from the offense in 2011. So we're talking about potentially 12 guys from the same offense that played in that Sugar Bowl could be NFL draft picks the last 3 years. That's a remarkable amount of guys.
Yeah, it is. Robbie Nyswanger joining us, Arkansas News Bureau, on the Revolution Hotline. And, we'll certainly hope to see at least I asked earlier a couple guys today, over under two Arkansas players taken today, and you cannot throw in an offensive lineman from UAPB in the mix here. I'm talking about strictly from the University of Arkansas. Over under two taken today in the second and third rounds?
I'm going to say under. I'm going to say Tyler's going to be picked sometime today, and that's going to be it.
You don't think Bailey goes today?
Well, yeah, that's the one I was about to throw out there. But there's a chance that Alvin Bailey might go there, you know, and be kind of a surprise. And I say that because you saw all the guards snatched up last night. And so now you're wondering how many teams, you know, are going to want guards and how many guards are left.
Yeah, no kidding.
I haven't looked at the guard draft board at this point, you know, as far as who was rated where, but I know the kid from Kentucky's still there, and I think he's going to go, you know, as far as the next guard probably. But, yeah, Alvin's got a chance. And so I wouldn't be shocked to see him go, but I'm just going to go ahead and say that I'm going to guess Tyler's the only one that's going to go tonight.
So if I said over under 1.5, you'd still say under?
I'd still say under.
Okay. Well, I hope we're not right about that, but I think that's probably the general consensus.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, these guys are going to go in rounds 4 through 7. So, right. You know, if they don't go tonight, they're going to go tomorrow. So you're going to see a bunch of Razorbacks drafted by the time this is over with.
You know, I'm a little disappointed that I didn't ask them this, but certainly Nile and Greg are both, this is applicable to them. And, like, there are some guys that you would expect for sure are going to be free agents. I guess Kobe Hamilton would be another guy you could ask this. But the value of going as a free agent versus being drafted in the 200 somewhere. You know, and yeah. So what they would prefer, I've seen some mock drafts where Nile gets drafted in the 200s. Maybe Kobe Hamilton does as well. I haven't seen Greg on anybody's board for any round at this point, which to me says one of two things. A, they haven't watched this kid play much, or B, didn't pay attention at the combine, or C, this is the deepest tight end draft in ages, which it might be.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep. I have seen mock drafts that have him go in the late round, okay. Something like, you know, 5th, 6th, maybe even 7th on a couple of them, so. So he's on there, you know, and he's taking the approach like the rest of the guys. Hey, it doesn't matter. I just want to be drafted. But, you know, to your point, yeah, it's a toss-up because, you know, at the end of this thing, if you're not picking the 7th round, you may have more options by the time this is over because, you know, your agent's going to sit there and look at all the free agent offers that are coming your way. You can look at the depth charts of those teams and say, I feel like I got a better chance to make this roster, so let's do this. But at the same time, there's just something about, you know, hearing your name called or seeing your name called or being able to say you were drafted, even if it is, you know, the 7th round, that a lot of these guys, you know, really, really want and really, you know, desire. So, you know, it's there's so many different ways to look at it. And in the end, if you're drafted, you're going to feel great about it. If you didn't get drafted, you say, hey, this is better for me anyways. So as long as you can sign that free agent deal.
That's exactly right. Let me shift gears briefly to basketball. Hunter Mickelson landing yesterday, and it wasn't so much that he got somewhere so quickly, it was where he ended up that surprised most people. You could not have said, I mean, there really is basically nothing you could have said that would have shocked me more than the fact that he's going to Kansas. So he transfers from Arkansas to Kansas, and a couple things in looking at the numbers here, I didn't realize how similar his numbers were. The only thing that was a huge drop-off from year to year from his freshman to sophomore years was the blocks. But, I mean, he had about the same number of points, about the same number of rebounds, but he blocked significantly fewer shots this last year, and I guess he feels like, and I think most people can understand, that Kansas may be a little better fit for what he does, and if you watch Jeff Withey at all this year, you can see why he might be attracted to playing for Bill Self.
I think that's exactly right, and I'm with you. I was shocked that it was Kansas. I knew that he had a lot of teams calling to ask. I didn't know what those teams were, but I knew there's a large number there, and so, you know, good for Hunter. I mean, he's upgraded. He's really moved into a good position for himself. And, you know, that's what they were looking for when they decided to get the release and wanted to move on. They wanted to find, you know, what they thought was going to be a better fit. And you're right. You know, Kansas has a history of using guys like him and using them well. So he's going to have an opportunity. I think it's still important that he's got to get back to what he does best, you know, as far as the shot blocking. And we know that those numbers went way down last year. He's going to be a guy that's going to make a difference on the defensive end. But he's also got some – I think he's got some offensive talent in the right system. He just did not fit. And it was obvious. He just did not really fit into what Arkansas was wanting to do. And that's why, you know, in the end, you know, you feel like the kid made the right decision for him. And really Arkansas might have made the right decision as well, just letting him go. You know, saying, yeah, go find a place where you'll be happy because you may not fit, you know, into the system as well as some other guys.
That's right. Well, those are the best deals. I mean, whether you're talking about trades in sports or something like this, I mean, the deals that work out, you know, best for both sides is certainly, you know, the deals you'd like to see happen, and maybe that's the case here. So we'll see what Arkansas does with that roster spot and how well he'll thrive year after next at Kansas. But, yeah, it would be a pretty good setting, I would think. Baseball this weekend, Arkansas playing the worst team in the SEC this weekend record-wise, both as far as overall and in conference play. And I would say jockstrap on this Friday to Auburn because Auburn has the chance to pull the triple crown of finishing last in football, basketball, and baseball, and they're blowing it right now. I mean, they got 2 wins more than Georgia. Auburn, you're gonna have to step your game down and get where you belong in the basement. I'm really disappointed in the Tigers right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna have a bad year, you want it to be like an epically bad year. You want it to be bad all across the board. So do your job here. Just start tanking games, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. They're going to have a hard time sucking worse than Georgia has so far, though. So what do you see from Arkansas this weekend on the road at Georgia?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we joke about it and you say that, but Dave Van Horn, when we talked to him the other day, he's scared of Georgia.
Well, of course he is. That's what he gets paid for.
But I think he's looking at, you know, what they did in the midweek. I mean, they pasted Georgia Tech like 17 to nothing. That just really kind of came out of nowhere. And Georgia Tech was ranked in Baseball America, if I'm if I'm correct. So he's looking at that saying, okay, so now is this a team that's gaining confidence, you know, as we come in there this weekend? And that's one thing he's going to be leery of. But, I mean, we know that Arkansas is better than Georgia. There's no doubt about that. They got to do a good job on the mound again. But, you know, again, the bats need to continue. The defense needs to continue to play well, as it has the last 2 weeks or so. You've got a chance to go in there and you know, win the series. If it goes well the first two nights, you know, maybe you can get another sweep on the road, and that would be important for this team. Arkansas is still fighting for the right to host a regional. I think they're on the outside looking in right now, but you know, they've got some games against some of the SEC's. I don't know if bottom feeders is the right term, but they're in the bottom half of the standings right now, the rest of the way. So they've got some opportunities here if they can take advantage of them.
If you're looking around the league this weekend, there's a great heavyweight matchup down in Baton Rouge this weekend, and those games are going to be televised in varying ways. ESPN for the third game of the series, 2 o'clock Central Time on Sunday. South Carolina 31-11, 11-7 in conference play, and then LSU 15-3 in conference play, 38-4 overall. So if you're looking for some good baseball, you got that. And then Mississippi State and Vanderbilt playing this weekend as well. You got another couple of teams with 30-plus wins taking on one another this weekend.
Big weekend in baseball. I mean, and that's what you want when you move into this time of year. You know, you're moving into late April, early May. We're moving into the last month of the regular season. It's crunch time for all these teams, and at this point, the obvious race for the SEC championship is between Vanderbilt and LSU. It's going to be interesting to see which one holds out and wins the thing. It's too bad they don't play each other. I would love to see that series. You know, Vanderbilt doesn't even play Arkansas either this year, so it's disappointing they didn't have those two on the schedule. So Arkansas, though, is fighting for a chance I think that they're behind Mississippi State right now as far as hosting goes. So they've got to make up some ground and maybe hope that Mississippi State slides a little bit. And who knows, maybe Arkansas can be hosting games at Baum Stadium in June.
We talked to Todd Butler earlier in the week, and he'll be part of our Zone Rewind later on in the show. If you missed the interview, it's posted on 1037thebuzz.com. But, you know, Dave Van Horn did a little bit to try to, you know, get people to relax and not freak out. And we talked last week with you about how Arkansas's record is similar to last year's record and in other years where they've had some success at this point in the season. And he was talking about trying to develop, you know, consistent hitting and trying to get some timely hitting, and he really feels like they can improve. And he sort of talked about how they haven't had a chance to practice a whole lot. You know, the weather hasn't been real conducive, and he felt like as the weather gets a little bit better, the more opportunities they have to practice, that this hitting and the offense will come around for this team.
Yeah, you know, they had a game rained out this week just because of the crappy weather. They were going to play Oklahoma, which would have been a good test.
Yeah.
It would have been very interesting to see how they stacked up with Oklahoma, because I think a lot of the mock regionals have Arkansas traveling over to Oklahoma right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was going to be a preview of what we could have seen here next month. So you did miss out that day. They did go out and they practiced in the terrible weather on Tuesday. They had some good weather Wednesday in practice and then hit the road. So, you know, as much as they want to play these midweek games, Van Horn's not crying about it if you don't get them, because it gives you a chance to get on the practice field a little more, maybe work some of this stuff out. I think they only have one more midweek game now the rest of the way, so really it's going to be concentrating on getting better in practice during the week and then going and playing a series on the weekend. So it's crunch time for this team. They need some wins if they want to host. They understand that. But they're also not sweating it either, because they've been in this position before. There's a lot of veterans on this team. They know that they just got to be ready to go to play in the NCAA regionals no matter where it is.
No question. Robbie, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the time. We'll visit with you next week.
No problem. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man. Take care.
Thanks.
Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau. We appreciate him coming on with us. Speaking of baseball, real quick here, before we turn our attention to Randy Dixon and a look back on some